Welcome to Health Connections. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Polk County is the very southeast corner of Tennessee. Its population is just shy of 17,000. It's known for its whitewater rafting on the Ocoee River and was once the epicenter of Tennessee's copper industry. And at this very moment, it has no hospital. The Copper Basin Medical Center closed this month, not only leaving Polk Countyans without immediate medical care, but becoming the 10th rural hospital in the state to close since 2010. Today we look at the challenges rural hospitals face, and we're joined as always by Dr. Carol Myers, an associate professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we're talking today of rural hospitals. Are they more at risk than hospitals in cities?
Yes, Brandon, I'm sad to report that we have what I would call an epidemic of closures of rural hospitals. And more specifically, Tennessee leads the country in the rate of rural hospital closures. We now have had 10 rural hospitals closed since 2010. Now, Texas has had 11, but it's a much bigger state. So we have the dubious distinction, highest rate in the country, and this is a concern.
So why rural hospitals as opposed to medical centers in more urban areas? Why are they more at risk?
Well, there's no one single answer to this question, Brandon, but there are some precipitating factors. Rural hospitals are already at risk. Oftentimes, they have a higher burden of Medicaid and Medicare patients, so they don't have the diversified payer mix that some of the other hospitals have. But there also are some provisions of the Affordable Care Act that has maybe caused a tipping point. And let's talk about those. Prior to the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, hospitals that treated a high volume of indigent clients received what we call DSH payments, DSH. And this is disproportionate share hospital payments, and they came from the federal government. So it was a partial compensation for the cost of caring for people that were uninsured and unable to pay for their health care. Well, think about the Affordable Care Act. The idea was that coverage would be extended to millions and millions of more Americans, and one of the mechanisms was through Medicaid expansion. So what happened was the Supreme Court ruled that Medicaid expansion was optional, and then a state like Tennessee made the decision not to expand. So now we have the fact that you have the same number of uninsured and the withdrawal of the DSH payments because they were thought to no longer be necessary.
That legislative loophole was never closed, I guess.
Well, it wasn't exactly a legislative loophole. It was an after-the-fact loophole because, again, the idea was we wouldn't need DSH payments to the same degree. Now, so what has happened? Tennessee didn't expand Medicaid, but when we look across the country at states that did expand Medicaid, they've seen about a 17% average reduction in their uncompensated care. So their need for DSH payments has gone down as their number of insured have gone up. However, in a state like Tennessee, our number of uninsured and therefore need for DSH payments has remained flat at the time the DSH payments are being withdrawn. Big problem.
I wanted to ask what it's like in the typical areas where rural hospitals operate, because many of the issues we're talking about right now are ones that we've touched on in previous conversations. People without insurance or without adequate insurance, people who typically are indigent or poor, the impoverished, people who are on TennCare. We've had a whole episode about TennCare. It seems like a number of these factors come together, kind of collide in rural areas. So what is it like?
Well, I would like to focus in on two primary problems. First is we take populations, rural people, that already suffer from a large number of health disparities. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that 78 of Tennessee's 95 counties are classified as rural. We had recently a state task force look at economic development in the rural areas, and I found some statistics from that report to be startling. 17 of Tennessee rural counties are in the bottom 10% of counties across the country. So rural residents, one of the problems is they tend to be older, there more of them are uninsured, they have higher rates of chronic disease, and this results in higher death rates, lower life expectancies, and higher rates of infant mortality, according to national research on rural health. So that's a big deal, and that one probably seems to make sense. We lose a hospital, it takes disadvantaged people and puts them at a greater disadvantage. But I think we also need to look at the economic impact, because there is a cascade of far-reaching consequences when a rural hospital closes. An anchor institution for that county is lost, or that regional area. Many times, the hospital is the largest employer in the county. So we lose the county hospital, and then that also causes negative effects. Some out-migration, difficult to attract business and other employers to your county, and it just causes a cascading effect.
Well, the $64,000 question for my sake here is, do you expect the trend to continue? We've seen 10 rural hospitals close in the last 7 years. Are more dominoes about to fall?
Yes, I think we will see more dominoes about to fall. There was an interesting analysis done looking at mandatory reports that Tennessee hospitals must file every year, and 28 of the remaining 61 rural hospitals are at risk for closures. But I don't want to convey that this is simply one thing or another thing. It's a complex interaction of factors. The whole delivery system is changing, new dynamics, so that's playing a part. Some of these hospitals were fragile anyways, you know, didn't have, as I said earlier, the diversified payer mix. But is there one thing that we can do? Well, we know from the natural experiment, those states that expanded and those states that did not expand Medicaid, that expansion of Medicaid does offer some protective effect. So that's one thing that our state could consider again.
Are there other remedies that you think might be able to stabilize or preserve some of these rural hospitals?
Well, I think we need to have a discussion about that because, again, we're in a time of major transition. Healthcare delivery does operate like a business, and we're having trouble with some of our areas. It may not be realistic in the future that every rural community will have a full-fledged hospital. Now, there are some backup strategies. We can do critical access hospitals. We can look at other strategies for providing the most essential services. How do we strengthen our safety net? And a safety net in healthcare is simply the provider of last resort. But we need to be having conversations about this and finding that uniquely Tennessee response to this national epidemic.
Dr. Carol Myers, an associate professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thank you again for helping elucidate the matter here on Health Connections.
The pleasure is always mine, Brandon. Thank you.